The only way that I love you is if I know you love me too. That's how shallow our love becomes, but Calvary's love reached everyone. Love went deeper than the crown of thorns they placed upon his head. Love went deeper than the stripes he bore when the blood ran crimson red. Love went deeper than the hole they dug when they dropped that old cross in place. Love went deeper than the depths of hell, deep enough to take my place. No greater wrong could man have done than to take the life of my God's own son. No greater love hath any man than to give his life for his friends. Love went deeper than the crown of thorns they placed upon his head. Love went deeper than the stripes he bore when the blood ran crimson red. Love went deeper than the hole they dug when they dropped that old cross in place. Love went deeper than the depths of hell, deep enough to take my place. He took my place.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Jones. Take your Bible this morning, if you would. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. Now, we're going to read the passages this morning of the same exact account, but both of these accounts give us the full story of the message this morning. I want you to make plans to be here during our missions conference. Many of you have asked me many questions about our trip, our missions team's trip to Honduras, and we're going to put together a DVD, and we're going to show that on the night of our international supper. And so I hope that you'll be back, take a look at what we accomplished down in Honduras, what our missionaries are doing. And I promise you, it will encourage you to make plans to go with us next year on our trip down to Honduras. We've got some great people, great missionaries doing some great works down there in the country of Honduras. People are very open. We went down into the marketplaces, and we took fist and fist full of tracts, and we passed them out in literally in minutes, all gone. And hardly had anybody not take a tract. Many times you give to them, they stop right there and read it. And we had a blast. And knocking doors, talking to people about Christ. And in one village, I said knocking doors. Some of them don't have doors. But we went and I went out. Brother Mike Havens and I make great silent partners. And we went out. And I think the group that went out that morning, I think we had 13 people come to Christ the morning that we went out, and while the ladies, or the afternoon, I should say, while the ladies were having a meeting there. And then at another location, we baptized 13 in the world's largest baptistry. We baptized them in the Atlantic Ocean. So we had a good time. We'll share a little bit more about that with you and during the missions conference. All right, if you found Matthew 15, Mark 7, let's stand together. Again, we're going to read the same account, the same event in both passages, but that way we can get a complete picture of what's happening here. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. First she approached Jesus and said, Have mercy on me. But now, listen, desperate situations call for desperate means. She said, Help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee. Now listen, here's the process. Have mercy on me. Help me. And then after faith was exemplified, Jesus said then, Be it unto thee. Be it unto thee. Even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now turn over to Mark chapter 7, if you would. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man known it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by nation. Now, in Matthew 15, it says she was from the land of Canaan. Now Mark nails it down who she is. She's a Gentile. She's a Greek. She's a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, that the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now these two stories are of the same incident that happened in Jesus' ministry, and the situation is this. Here's a woman that came and realized, you know what, I've tried basically everything I know how to do. There's got to be a better way. And so she had heard through the grapevine somehow that Jesus was coming to town. She goes and makes the proposition there, Lord, please, please, would you heal my daughter? She's vexed with a devil. And then Jesus said, well, it's not meet that the children's bread be cast to dogs. And she said, true, Lord, you're right. It shouldn't be. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What an incredible... Listen, not many things in Scripture stopped Jesus in his path. But this stopped him. This stopped him dead in his tracks. And I want to speak to you on that passage, on these two passages of Scripture this morning. And I want to speak to you on this thought, crumbs for a crown. Crumbs for a crown. Father, bless us now. Would you meet with us in this service? And we'll certainly be careful to give you the glory now for what shall be done. Spirit of God, move, convict as you see fit in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. For those of you that are visiting with us, and for those of you that may not realize that my wife and I and several other people from our church spent a week in Honduras this week, and we spent time with two of our missionaries. One of our missionaries, Brother Napo Flores and his wife Esther, are in a town called Tela, Honduras, which is on the coast of the Atlantic. One day he said, Preacher, he said, I want to take you up to where I was raised, back up in the mountains and back up in the jungle areas of Honduras. And I said, that's fine. And so we got in the vehicle and he took us back way back up in the mountains to a place where you can only walk so far or drive so far, then you have to get out and walk the rest of the way because the van can't get up in there where his parents live. Well, once we got there, I didn't know this, but they knew we were coming, and they had prepared a meal for us. And so once we got there and we fellowshipped a little bit, and they had us set down at just a little bit square table, not much bigger than this pulpit. And I sat there. The Gonzalez's sat there. My wife was ill that day and was back in the hotel. She didn't get to go with us, and neither did Mrs. McDaniels, but Brother and Mrs. Havens there. We sat down to the meal there, and she was so pleased and so happy to have prepared a meal for us. And, you know, I was a little bit skeptical of whether I should eat this or not eat this. But I was encouraged to eat this. I didn't want to offend anybody. So she set a bowl, and it had a little covering over the top. They do that to keep the flies off, because these people are very primitive, live way back up in here, and they have to cover their food, cover everything, keep the flies. I mean, just swarms of flies everywhere. So we're sitting at the table, we're eating there, so I take my bowl off, or take the top off my bowl. There's rice and a tortilla and a little chunk of meat about this big. There. So we started eating that, and Mrs. Gonzalez, who had requested this meal, said, "Well, preacher, take a bite of the meat and see how you like it." So I looked at it, and it looked like chicken. I reached down and I got my fork and I picked a piece of meat off there and I ate it. And I thought, well, it did. It actually did taste like rotisserie chicken. Well, I come to find out that his mom had prepared her specialty. It was rice, tortillas, and iguana. So I had me a mouthful of iguana. Well, while we were sitting there eating, and of course it's just open air and chickens are running everywhere. I mean, they're just weaving their way in and out in the chair, and the old family dog was sitting over here, and once we sat down at the table, he walked over there, came under the table, and laid down right at our feet. Now, obviously, he had done this before. But as I was sitting there, I already knew what I was going to preach on. I'd already studied and prayed and asked God to bless the message. And I was sitting there. God says, "Now, what I'm going to do, preacher, I'm going to teach you the truth of what I want you to preach Sunday morning." And as we were sitting there eating, and we put the rice and iguana in the little deal to make a little taco type thing out of it. And you know, if you've ever done that, you bite on one end and it goes out the other end. So I was spilling some on me and it was falling on the floor. But as I noticed, I felt something around my feet. Looked down, the dog was licking up the crumbs of the rice that fell out of my taco. Now I looked around. I didn't want to offend anybody and everybody was watching me. I would have taken that iguana and reached down there and because I'm sure he's eaten iguana before. But as I was watching this, I watched, and that dog went little piece after little piece after little piece, eating the crumbs that fell from our table. And God says, that's what I'm talking about in this story. He says, you know what? You got the best part. You got the full taco, but the dog was satisfied with the crumbs that fell from your table. And I want to say to you this morning, it reminded me of this story of this dear woman who came to Jesus, and she had a great request. Her daughter was vexed with a devil. And I'm sure that she had done everything that she possibly could think of. I'm sure that people gave her referrals. People probably gave her referrals. And she probably went from person to person to person, but nobody could heal her daughter. Nobody could cast this devil out. So finally, somewhere, somebody said, "Listen, I don't know if this will help or not, but I heard of a man named Jesus. And I heard of a man named Jesus, and at the best that I can tell, somebody told me he's in town today." And she thought, well, I've tried every other situation. I've tried every other resource that I know to try, so I'm going to go try Jesus and see if that'll make a difference. Thank God she didn't have to wait 2 weeks for the referral to come back. Somebody referred her to the Lord, and she went to the Lord, and listen, what she did there was incredible. And I want to look at several things and make several observations about this woman's encounter with Jesus that I find really fascinating in Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice that she already knew that Jesus had the power to heal her daughter. Did you notice that? She had never met him ever, as far as we can tell in Scripture. But you know what? She came to him and she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Messiah. She had never met him before, but she already knew, this man has the power to heal my daughter. Listen, you may be sitting here this morning. Nobody may have ever taken the Bible and explained to you how to be saved. Nobody's that may have ever talked to you about the story of Jesus and told you how wonderful he is, how caring he is, how loving he is. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to know everything about Jesus to know he has the power to heal. He has the power. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon heaven and upon earth. I'm here to tell you that she already knew that Jesus had the power to heal her daughter. Hey, while many people were rebuking the Lord and making fun of him because of his claims, she, as far as we could tell, never had met him before and came and said, "Thou, O Lord, thou son of David." She knew he had the power to heal. Do you know there's a lot of people today, not just in this church, but outside this church, that know Jesus has the power to heal, but they won't tap into it? Can I say this morning, what does she have to lose? She had tried every other source she could think of. She had gone to every referral that she knew, and nobody could help her daughter. They said, "Jesus is coming through town. Don't know if it'll help, but would you listen? You're sure not going to hurt anything." So she met him out on the way, and she said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, oh Lord, thou son of David." She already knew that he had the power to heal her daughter. Many of you here today that may not know Jesus, you know he can save you. You know he has the power to do so. He proved it by dying for you on a cross. He proved to you that he could by becoming sin for you and dying and going into a grave in 3 days and three nights. He spent there, and on the third day he rose from the dead and now ascended and sits at the right hand of God. And all power belongs. You know he's got the power. She did. She knew he had the power. And had never, as far as we know, met him one time. But she knew. The next fascinating thing I find out about this story is this. She didn't bring her daughter with her to see Jesus. Does that strike you funny? You say, "Nah, that doesn't bother me at all, preacher." Well, let me ask you this. How many of you, when your children get sick, did you go to the doctor and show up at the doctor's office and say, "This, I'd like to make an appointment for my child"? "Well, where are they?" "Oh, I left them at home. But I'm going to go ahead and get an appointment anyway." "Well, the doctor wants to examine the patient." "Well, he already knows. He's already seen her before." You say, "Well, that's crazy, preacher. The doctor's not going to set an appointment just because I walk up there and won't say he's going to want to examine the patient." You see, this lady decided, "You know what? My daughter, I'm just going to go for it." And she went and found the Lord. She left her daughter at home. It'd be like you leaving your child home and going to the doctor and trying to get an examination and an appointment, and medication. Most of them aren't going to do that. She left her daughter at home. Be the same thing if we went to a doctor and demanded an appointment. And I'm telling you, when she went to this appointment, Jesus didn't need to see her. He had already seen her. He already knew all about her. He already knew that she was vexed with the devil. She didn't need an appointment, see? Because he wasn't a regular physician. He was the great physician. And so she already knew that he had the power to heal her daughter, and she didn't even bring her daughter with her to see the Lord. Remember the story in Mark chapter 2? Remember the four men had a friend that was sick of the palsy? Jesus went home. They couldn't get it, so they climbed up on the roof, tore the roof open, dropped him down in there. Now, they brought him to Jesus, right? But this woman didn't even bring her daughter. She left the daughter at home, came on her own, with nothing more than a hope that this referral was going to work out. Now here's the next fascinating thing I noticed. When she cried out, Jesus didn't even answer her at first. Did you notice that? Turn back there if you would. Look at Matthew 15. She cried out, "Have mercy on me." Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. He never even answered her. She cried out, "Lord, please have mercy on me, my daughter. She's vexed with the devil. Please, would you have..." And Jesus just kept moving. Now, wait a minute. Now, you say, "Well, that was that unkind?" No. We hadn't read the rest of the story yet. You see, the thing about it is this was all planned. Jesus already knew this encounter was going to take place. You know what he was about to do? He was not only about to teach her, but he was about to teach his disciples a very valuable lesson. And Jesus did not even answer her. Oh, he heard her, but he chose not to answer her a word, the scripture says. Now I want you to notice something else fascinating about this. Not only did she already know that Jesus had the power, not only did she already know, or did she leave her daughter at home, she didn't bring her daughter with her. Not only here did we find that when she cried out, Jesus never even answered her, but did you notice that the disciples tried to get rid of her? They tried to get rid of her. Oh, by the way, this wasn't the first time they tried this. You hear me? I'm just going to stop and park here just a minute, so you just hang on, all right? Do you know it's none of your business? Not a single person, it's none of nobody's business in here. When people come to church, it's none of your business how they come to church, what they look when they come to church, or what they've been involved in before they came to church. Hey, that wasn't even the issue here. The issue was not about who she was, what she was. The Lord already knew. You know what the disciples? These are men that followed Him. These are men that were serving Him. You know what they were concerned about? They weren't even concerned about her daughter. You know what they were concerned about? They were concerned about who she was. Because she was a Greek. She was a Gentile. They were concerned about the color of her skin, or the color of her eyes, or her nationality. That's what they were concerned about. Can I say to you, folks, listen to me. Do you know what? In America today, we're too concerned about what people are and what they've been involved in instead of letting them come to church and try to minister to them and love them and help them for the glory of God. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? And these are men that loved Jesus. These weren't men that hated the Lord. These are men that loved Him. And you know what they did? Lord, send her away. Remember I told you I was going to park here just a minute? Trinity Baptist Church members, let me ask you something. How many people have you gotten into church compared to the amount of people you've run off from church? How many people have you run off compared to what you got in? You say, well, I've never run anybody off. Well, you may by saying something that's not kind, or treating a person rudely, or treating a person different because of who they are, or how they look, or what they wore to church. Hey, we've lost our mind. You know what? The Lord already knew who she was, what she was, and what her need was. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, he kept walking. Yeah, the only people that spoke up was his disciples. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to send her away. They wanted to run her off. Yet she had a need. Folks, let me tell you something. We can't run people off before we get them the gospel. We can't run people off until we've discipled and ministered them and helped them. People don't know any better. She didn't know any better. She just thought, you know what? Hey, I got a referral, and I'm just going to check this referral out. Now, I want you to notice something else I find very fascinating. Not only did Jesus not say a word to her, and not only did the disciples try to run her off, but when Jesus did speak, He made two very discouraging statements. Did you notice that? Listen to what He said. Are you there? Verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of where? He said, I'm sent to the Jews. I'm the Messiah of the people of God. I'm the Messiah of the Jews. And to her as a Gentile, that probably would maybe have been taken as a very discouraging statement. But you know what? Listen to what happened. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Jesus made a statement, I'm Messiah, I've come to the Israelites, I've come to the Jews. And she just kept on. Kept on. And then Jesus made another statement. Verse 26. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to who? That was not a term of endearment that was used to Gentiles. It was a time and that day when these people, particularly the Greeks, that were non-Jewish people, they were called dogs. He said, so it's not meat for me to take the children's bread. That's the meat of who I came to minister to, the Jews, and give it to Gentiles. He said, that's not what I came to do. And so twice the Lord spoke discouraging words. There's no question in my mind, church, that her trust in Him was being tested. Because first of all, when she cried, He never said nothing. The second time she cried out, you know what? Then He spoke two discouraging statements, but I think it was all nothing but a test. And listen, not just for her, but for his disciples. You know, I think that he was testing her to find out, how bad do you want your daughter delivered? How persistent are you going to be? You see, sometimes, dear friend, when you cry out to God and you don't get an answer, you need to cry out again. And if you don't get an answer, you need to cry out again. You see, the thing about it is, listen very carefully to me. What happened right here was nothing more than a test. And then something happened. A statement was made that changed the whole plot of the story. Everything changed by one statement. When Jesus said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Here's the statement. Here's what she said. True, Lord. You're right. You are the Messiah of the Jews. You are the Messiah of Israel. But listen to this statement that changed the whole plot. She said, yet the dogs, the Gentiles, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And look what happened. In verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Stopped him dead in his tracks. You see what I'm saying to you? These are some fascinating things that we're looking at. Just very fascinating. But it was her response that stopped Jesus in his tracks. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you want to stop Jesus in his tracks today? Do you want to stop him right now in your life, that his attention would be towards you? Then you're going to have to display openly and private faith. Not just in who he is, but what he can do. You see, we're going to have to acknowledge him for what he is and who he is and what he can do. Faith, listen to me, always stopped Jesus in Scripture. Always stopped him. Now, we never hear, as far as I can tell, we can never hear from this mother again. But boy, does she teach some incredible lessons. And here's what I'm going to give them to you real quick. You ready? Here they are. Number one, here's what she taught us. We do not deserve God's mercy, but it's available for everybody. Did you notice she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David? She came to him. She thought, she already knew, okay, I'm Gentile. This is you. I don't even deserve this. I don't even deserve it. But she taught us that we don't deserve God's mercy, but it's available for everyone. She knew who she was. She knew how she was viewed. She was viewed as a dog. That's how she was viewed. And you know something? That didn't stop her. You see, she understood who she was. She was a Gentile. That didn't stop her. She knew that it was that if no mercy was given, then her daughter had no hope. Because as far as she knew, this was the last referral she could check out. As far as she knew, this was the last person that she could make contact. Can I say to you this morning, church, listen to me. As I sit there at that little table in that little grass hut, underneath that little grass hut, way back up in the jungle areas, sit there eating rice and tortilla and iguana. I watched that little family dog move from feet to feet. And by the time she got to Brother Havens, that dog, man, she had a lot to eat. He was everywhere. I think Brother Havens dropped that piece of iguana out of his taco on purpose. I think he got the top and squeezed it. But you know what? That dog was just lapping it up. I'm talking about right at my feet. And God says, that's what I'm talking about. Now stop, let me think about this just a minute. Chew on this just a second. You think that's the first time that dog's eating crumbs? You think that's the first time he's been under a table before? I don't think so. You know why God's people need to understand? Listen, there's a lot of crumbs, but we're eating crumbs for a crown. You see, the thing about it is, what we've got to understand is, for God's people, we've got to come back and come back. Because you know what? That dog, that wasn't the first time he's eating crumbs. That wasn't the first time he sat at the master's table. That wasn't the first time that he has found out, you know what? If I go under the table, I'm going to get something to eat. Something better than what's out here. I'm going to eat what the folks are going to eat, just in smaller portions. You see, that wasn't the first time he had eaten crumbs. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you've lived long enough in the faith and served God long enough, you know what? And you've experienced the love of God, That's not the first time you've been eating crumbs. That's not the first time you've eaten crumbs. And understand, listen, I may be eating crumbs today, but there's a crown to inherit later. So she taught us we don't deserve God's mercy, but it's available to all. Here's the second thing I noticed that she taught us. We must be persistent to get what we want. We must be persistent to get what we want. She just wouldn't take no for an answer. Let me ask you this, mamas. If you were in this situation, would you take no for an answer? If you had a child that was in a situation, a critical situation, would you take no for an answer? If the first person you went to as a referral and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, she's got a devil, I can't help her." Oh, okay. No, you wouldn't. You know what you do? You'd say, you'd go to the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy, until somebody said, "Let me tell you something. I don't know if this will help or not, but I heard there was a man named Jesus passing through town today. You might want to go check that out. He's not a physician as whole, but you know what? People have told me he's healed people. He's raised people from the dead. He's made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to talk. I don't know if he'll cast the devil out, but you know what? Sure worth a try." And boy, she went. Not even have seen him, but she knew when she got there, this is the guy. This is the one I've been looking for. You see, she taught us that we must be persistent to get what we want. She would not take no for an answer. Listen to me. You know something? She was even ignored. She cried out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Jesus answered her, not a word. Didn't answer a word. That's the reason. Listen, some of us, we give up too soon in our prayer life. We pray a few days, a few weeks. Listen to me. Sometimes we pray a few years. And we don't see God answered. Don't give up. Don't give up. You got to be persistent to get what you want. You say, "But I just don't have time." Well, let me ask you this. What price are you putting on a person's soul then? What price are you going to put on a person's soul? What price are you going to put on a person's health? What price are you going to put on a person's well-being? We're talking about an individual. And she taught us that we must be persistent to get what we want. She was ignored. Man, she could have been discouraged. Jesus said, "It's not me for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." Now, that could have been discouraging. You know, the thing about it, when you read your Bible, did you know there's some discouraging statements in here? There's some discouraging statements in here about if you're going to live the Christian life or if you're going to serve God, some things that are going to come your way. But should that alter my plan? Should that alter my desire to serve God? No. Just because some things are going to come my way if I serve God, that shouldn't stop me from serving God. She could have just stopped in her tracks. She could have said, "Well, you know what? That referral didn't work out." But she thought, you know what? She looked at Jesus. She thought about her daughter. She thought about those other doctors. She thought about her daughter. And she thought, no. This is my last chance. This is my last chance. I'm not giving this up. And so Jesus said, "I'm sorry. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And then, you know what? I think just I don't think she thought about this. I think the Spirit of God used her to speak these words. And she said, "True, Lord. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." I believe God used her to say that because you know what he wanted to do? He not only wanted to teach her a lesson, he wanted to teach him 12 knuckleheads that were with him a lesson too. That tried to run her off because of who she was, because she wasn't of the right nationality of them. So they're going to run her off. You see, what we've got to understand, church, is this. If we're going to get something, we're going to have to be persistent to get what we want. She was ignored. She could have been discouraged. She was asked to leave by his disciples. But you listen to me, her daughter's life and her daughter's future was at stake. And she would not give up. There's some of you here this morning. You know what? Your soul's at stake. Your soul's at stake here. You say, "What am I supposed to do, preacher? Come eat a few crumbs." Because I promise you may be eating crumbs now, but there's a crown for you in the future. And that leads me to the last thing. what she taught us is a few crumbs are worth a crown. A few crumbs are worth a crown. You see, she was willing to do whatever she needed to do for her daughter's deliverance. Are you willing to? Are you willing to eat a few crumbs? One of the crumbs and stuff that she experienced here was a crumb of faith. Did you notice Jesus called attention to it? Oh, woman, great is thy faith. As far as we know, she'd never met him before. This was the first time that she'd ever met him. You say, preacher, this is my first time in church. I've never been here before. So what does that hinder you from trusting Christ? What should that hinder you from coming and nibbling on a crumb that falls from the Word of God? You say, where are the crumbs right along in here? You see, I noticed when we sat down to eat, the dog didn't run out back. The dog came where the crumbs were. The dog sat there, you know what, because he knew, you know what, I've been here before and I've seen crumbs falling here before. You know what, they fell once, they're going to fall again. And listen now, after it was all said and done, and we still had some left over, and of course I'd had about all the iguana I could take. And I just took the cover and I just put it over my bowl. So when they came around, you know, okay, keep in mind now, not the first time this dog had been under the table. And he had been there, and he had been there, and he had been in the presence of the master. Listen, they went around, got all of our bowls, got a spoon, raked them all out, dumped them in one bowl. You know who they gave them to? Remember old Bingo over here that was eating crumbs? After all the leftovers were over, after all the eating was over, after everything was done, they dumped in one bowl, took it out there, and boy, Bingo had a feast. Wasn't eating crumbs no more. Brother, he had a crown on that head. Man, he was eating iguana. He was eating yellow rice. He was eating tortillas. You know what? Because he ate a few crumbs. And he'd been there long enough. Now, man, they bought him a whole bowl now. Old Bingo's like, glory to God, I exercised a little faith. Man, I'm getting a whole bowl. You see, she taught us that there's a crumb of faith. There's a crumb of endurance. Sometimes you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to do what it takes to get your prayers answered. And then I want to say lastly that there was a crumb that she taught us, and that was a crumb of intercession. You hear me? Where was her daughter? Her daughter was at the house. Her daughter wasn't with her. Her daughter was at the house. Listen, she had enough faith to go to the Lord and say, listen, you know what? I can't pick my daughter up. I don't have anybody to tote her here. She said, I'm just going to go by faith that this is the answer. And she went by faith. And you know what? She got a few crumbs. And Jesus said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee. You came wanting a request. You wanted a quest. I'll give you a request. I'll give you the crumbs. And then I'll give you all the leftovers. I'll give you the bowl. I'll give you everything you came for. Hey, listen. You don't think old Bingo dog underneath the table was wishing, boy, if I could just have a chunk of that iguana. If I could just have a little rice and a tortilla in this mouth. He's probably sitting under there thinking, boy, while they're sitting up there eating all that, and all I get is this little crumb that falls. But you know what? He was happy with that crumb. Because later, you know what he got? He got a whole bowl, and he got a lot of mine. I don't know how much of Brother Mitch Havens he got. He got a lot of mine. I was asking you this morning. You willing to endure? You willing to eat a few crumbs for a crown? She was. We're spoiled, folks. We're spoiled. You know what we want? We want God to give us the whole steak dinner, and then when we need it, then we'll eat the crumbs. You see, Bingo had to eat the crumbs, then he got the bowl. And can I say to you, in Christianity and your life, you're going to have to come and eat a few crumbs if you're going to get a crown. You hear me? What we want is we want the crown and let God figure out how we're going to work out all the details. No, it's crumbs, then the crown. And this morning, if you don't know the Lord, I'm telling you, you can come eat a little crumbs this morning that fall from the Word of God. He said, where are they, preacher? Right around here. and you can come and get them this morning. If you're a child of God, maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to get straightened out. You know what you need to get? Listen, there's crumbs here. There's crumbs. And you can come and partake of them. You say, well, that's not very much. Yeah, but wait till you get the crown. Wait till you get the whole bowl. Well, Bingo was happy. Because you know what? After it's all said and done, and all the leftovers were taken, boy, he had a feast, and so can you one day. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. Who can say this morning, preacher, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, I've been saved, I put my faith and trust in Jesus. No question about it, if the trumpet sounded or the voice of the archangel cried out today, I'm going to heaven, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm not even ashamed of it, preacher. I know it. Not even ashamed of it. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I ask you, please, today, in the name which is above every name, and that's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, there were some that could not raise their hand this morning. I pray that they would come and eat of the crumbs that have fallen from the Word of God this morning. The crumb of faith, the crumb of trust, the crumb of salvation this morning, Lord. If they come and partake, there's a crown waiting for them. Father, this dear lady that we read about today, she did not know the Lord, but she knew that Jesus had all the power to heal her daughter. She didn't even bring her daughter with her. And yet, she was persistent. She would not take no for an answer. And I pray this morning, Lord God, if there's some this morning that know not Christ, that they would come and put their faith in you this morning. Father, they have nothing to lose. This may be their last referral to the great physician. Please, move in their heart today. There's some, Father, that are going through tough times that need a touch from God. Some, Lord, are facing trials and tribulations and need a touch from God. And I just pray that you do your work now and that you take the message preached and do the convicting that needs to be done to bring people to Christ, to bring people to a walk with Thee and to a better relationship with Thee. Please, search our hearts today, we pray. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. There were a few people that couldn't raise their hand just a moment ago. Would you let me pray for you? If you don't know for sure that you've been born again, I don't want you to leave today without knowing that. Listen, the whole reason I stand behind this pulpit and preach is not just to help the people of God and exhort the people of God, but also to help those who know not Christ to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus today. If you're here this morning, say, preacher, no one's ever taken the Bible and showed me how to be saved. I can't remember a time that I put my faith and trust in Christ. It's not that I don't want to go to heaven, preacher, I do. I just don't know in my heart, but you'd let me pray for you so that I might be able to identify you. Nobody's looking but me, so that I might know who you are. Would you let me know that by just slipping your hand up? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. Pray for me. Slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you and you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. Who'll join these three? Just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven, but I want to know, preacher. Please, please pray for me. All right, maybe you're here this morning. You've already been saved. You're a Christian, but you say, preacher, I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Preacher, I'm a Christian. I've already been saved, never been baptized. Please pray for me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join this one? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. All right? One last question. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, there are some things in my life that I need to get in tune with God. There are some things in my life that I need to come and nibble on a few crumbs that have fallen from the Word of God today. Would you pray for me? I need these things that we've learned this morning. I need faith. I need these things in my life. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up and say, that's me. That's me. All right, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right, you can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer this morning is for these that have raised their hand and for those, Lord, that may have been embarrassed to raise their hand, that you'd move in their heart today. Father, my heart was stirred this week as I saw invitation after invitation, altars filled, people weeping for loved ones, people weeping for the power of God, teenagers, young people, young single adults, married couples, single moms, grandmas and grandpas weeping for the power of God. Oh, Lord God, would you send revival to our church? Would you send revival to our hearts today, Lord, that we would be honest before you and that we would come and be obedient unto your will? Father, those that need to be saved, please don't let them stay in their pew this morning. Oh, Spirit of God, convict them that today could be the day of their salvation. Some need to be baptized. Oh, Lord God, please don't let them leave today without making that decision, making that commitment for the glory of God. And then, Father, some have needs in their life. Just like this Greek woman, just like this Syrophoenician woman who knew that she wasn't a Jew and she wasn't like all the others, but she, Lord, went to Jesus because she knew that was the last opportunity that she would have to see her daughter healed. And she showed great faith. That's what we need, Lord. We need great faith. Not good faith, great faith. And so I pray whatever needs to be restored in the hearts and lives of the Christians this morning, that you'd have your will and way in that as well. And we'll certainly commit this invitation to you now this morning in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. If you slipped your hand up and you'd like to come this morning and join us around the altar here for a few crumbs that have fallen from the Word of God, would you come? Would you come? Hey, don't be concerned about who's standing next to you or who you came with or what's going on around you. You come this morning. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about your life. We're talking about what's happening with you right now. Please, please, you come. You come. This is your opportunity. If you slipped your hand up, you come today. Please. Some of you raised your hand and say, "Preacher, there's some things in my life that I need to get straightened out." You come, please. You come.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Sing it through again, Brother Shaddix. We've had a couple of more come.
Through death into life.